Good morning, and welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we enter this holy season of Lent, or we continue in this holy season of Lent with sorrow and fear, but also with awe and wonder. As we consider your suffering and death, lead us to see that our own sins are the cause of it all, and then lead us to genuine sorrow and repentance. But also, Lord, lead us to see your incredible love for us and move us to marvel at your willing sacrifice so that we may worship and praise you from our whole heart. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Come to Calvary's Holy Mountain. Please rise. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved of God, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Father, we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. But we are sorry for our sins and pray that you would be gracious and merciful unto us. Forgive us for Jesus' sake, renew us by your Spirit, and lead us in the way everlasting. Amen. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Our responsive reading for today is from Psalm 32. It's printed beginning on page 3 in your bulletin. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. We pray. Lord God, you are merciful and tender-hearted, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to us in our anguish over our sin, and hear our cry for mercy, that we may be at peace. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our Passion History reading. We continue with part 6.
Saved others, himself he cannot save. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, that we may see and believe in him. If he trusted in God, let him deliver him now. If he will save him, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. One of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. And it was about the sixth hour, that is noon, then the sun was darkened. From this hour, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, that is 3 p.m. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you, or hast thou, forsaken me? And when some of those who stood by heard that, they said, Look, this man is calling for Elijah. After this, Jesus, seeing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there. Then immediately someone ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, on hyssop, and put it to his mouth and offered it to him to drink. He and the others said, Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him and take him down. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And when Jesus has cried out again with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit and breathed his last. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion who stood opposite Jesus saw what had happened, and that he cried out like this, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this man was the Son of God. Here ends our Passion History reading.
All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed.
I invite you to please rise. Let's continue with our confession of faith in our Savior Jesus Christ with the words of the second article, along with Luther's explanation from the Catechism that is found on page 7 in your bulletin. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He did this that I should be his very own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy, just as he is risen from death, lives and reigns in eternity. This is most certainly true. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, Lord, to you I make confession. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was crucified for us and is right here with us, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Luke. We'll read from chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. One of the criminals hanging there was blaspheming him, saying, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same condemnation? We are punished justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for what we have done. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said to him, "Amen, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. During the season of Lent, we have been looking at various ironies of the Passion. That is, things that were done or said that in connection with Jesus' suffering and death that were ironic. And the definition that we've been using for this series is this: a result that is the opposite of what might be expected. A result that is the opposite of what might be expected. If you look closely at today's text, you'll notice that a few phrases from our sermon text could be seen as ironic. They would at least fit that definition. And one of those phrases that we'll focus on are the words of the second criminal mentioned in our text when he said to Jesus, when he says, do you not fear God? Those words are ironic. They're actually shocking. This is definitely a result that is the complete opposite of what might be expected. This man and the other man who was crucified with Jesus are called criminals by Luke in our text. We're not told exactly what they were accused of. We don't know what their crimes were, but the Greek word that's used here implies not only that they were robbers, that they had been stealing, but also implies violence, perhaps even murder. That Greek word used can be translated criminal, evildoer, even villain. So these men appear to be habitual offenders. They were there because they deserve it. They deserved the death penalty on that cross. And if either of these men had feared God, they wouldn't have been living the way that they were living. They wouldn't have been there in that situation, hanging on that cross for their crimes. In fact, it's pretty obvious, not only did these men not fear God or his laws, by their criminal behavior, they showed they didn't even fear man's laws to begin with either. What was not surprising, what was not ironic in the slightest, were the words of that first criminal. He clearly did not fear God. He did not believe in the one who was being crucified right next to him, crucified for this man's crimes and all of his sins. In verse 39, we read, "One of the criminals hanging there was blaspheming him, saying, 'Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us.'" And you might have noticed in the reading today that the words of Matthew and Mark are also included. Matthew and Mark tell us that at first, both of these criminals initially mocked Jesus in this way. Everyone did. These criminals were mocking and echoing the words of the chief priests, the religious leaders, the soldiers, and even the people who just passed by Jesus. They were mocking him with similar words. Matthew 27 tells us, "People who passed by kept insulting him and shaking their heads. They were saying, 'You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.'" In the verses that come just before our sermon text, we read this: "The rulers were ridiculing him, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also made fun of him. Coming up to him, they offered him sour wine, saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." Do you notice the great irony here? Jesus was, in fact, the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the chosen one of God. He was the Son of God himself, true God. And so, yes, he obviously had power to be able to come down off of that cross and save himself. But the reason he didn't proved that he was who he said he was. It proved that he was the Savior of the world. The reason he didn't come down from the cross was to save sinners like these men who were dying on the cross next to him, to save the religious leaders who were mocking him, to save the soldiers and the people passing by who were making fun of him, to save you and me, who also need saving from our sins. And that's when something more than just ironic happened. Something truly miraculous happened. The second criminal in our text says, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same condemnation? We are punished justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for what we have done. But this man has done nothing wrong." Where on earth did that question come from? When did this man come to this realization? Where did that realization of this come from? Where did this change of heart in this second criminal come from? And what's truly miraculous and shocking is that this isn't everything the criminal confessed. He goes on in our text to say those incredible words of faith and trust in Jesus, words that many people throughout the centuries have treasured. Many people I know have said, "These are my favorite words in the entirety of Scripture." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He trusted in Jesus to take him to heaven when this horrible experience was over. And remember, this experience was because of this man's own doing. There is an extra level of guilt and shame and pain when he knew he did this to himself. So how did this man come to know his Savior and make this confession? Well, you can point to a number of things. You can point to the fact that most Jews were raised with some religious instruction. You can point to the fact that Jesus was probably the most famous man in Israel during his 3 years of his ministry. So this man probably heard about what Jesus was teaching, maybe even went and saw him preach at some point in his life. We can also point to the fact that he would have heard Jesus speak to the people on his way to Calvary. He would have heard him asking God to forgive the soldiers who nailed him to the cross. But it appears as if up until this moment, none of that had really, truly sunk in. But now, in his last moments, as he's hanging there on the cross, the Holy Spirit worked through the gospel that perhaps he had heard in the synagogue, or in the stories he heard about Jesus, or in the preaching of Jesus himself during his ministry, or in the words that Jesus spoke to and on the cross. And through that gospel, the Holy Spirit reached into this man's heart and gave him faith right there while he was dying on his own cross. God has done the very same thing for you and for me. Come on, Pastor, that seems a bit like a forced comparison, really. When we look at this dying man who is on the cross paying for his crimes, for his sins, robbery, violence, and murder, do we really, really see ourselves there? Do you see yourself in the account of this criminal on the cross next to Jesus? Do I see myself there? Or do we think, "I'm really not the kind of sinner that he was. I'm really not that bad"? The sad truth is, we are. We are all sinners from birth. And the Bible truth is that God does not grade our sins on a curve. He does not rank sins as being some not so bad. No. A sin is a sin is a sin in God's eyes. And the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. And I hate to tell you, that doesn't just mean death on some torture device like a cross. It doesn't just mean physical death. The Bible is referring there to every kind of death, which means also eternal death. So even if we've managed to keep from murdering anyone, we've all hated someone, we've all said and done things that hurt others, sometimes very deeply. Even though we've maybe never stolen anything physically, have you ever been lazy at work? Ever not put your best effort into your work? Have you ever been jealous, envious of other people? Ever resented the fact that God has given to others much more, it seems, than He has given to you? To God, those sins of our heart are just as evil as those sins that people actually act out. And according to God's law, we are just as guilty as these men who are on the cross. We deserve the same death and the same hell that they deserved. And so when we look into our hearts, when we look at our own lives, we should be saying the same thing this second criminal said. Don't you even fear God? We are under the same condemnation. We are punished justly, for we're receiving what we deserve for what we have done. But this man has done nothing wrong. I sometimes say, thank God for the but of the gospel. And here is one of those, right? But this man has done nothing wrong. That is the good news. Just like that criminal who's hanging on the cross, Jesus is right here with us. Jesus has done nothing wrong. That's good news for you and me, because that means He kept every single one of God's holy laws perfectly. Every act, every word, even every thought, perfect. And He did it so that His righteousness would cover us and cover our many sins. And like that criminal, we can turn to Jesus' cross and we can look to Him. We can see Jesus on that cross for us. And He has been every bit as gracious and as generous to us as He was to that criminal. Jesus on that cross paid for all of our hatred and murder. He paid for all of our lust, our greed, and our robbery. He paid for all of our jealousy and our gossip, for our addictions and our shame. On that cross, He paid for all of our sin. His blood washed it all away. Jesus promises us what He promised that criminal who reached out to Him in faith. Verse 43 says, Jesus said to him, Amen, which means truly, or as I like to tell my confirmation students, Amen means yes with an exclamation point. Yes, today you will be with me in paradise. You want to talk about some miraculous irony? This result is the complete opposite of what might be expected. For the criminal on the cross and for us. Not today you will be with me in prison, or today you'll be with me in hell. Just the fact that Jesus says you will be with me in paradise, in heaven. Praise God. That same Holy Spirit who worked through that same gospel to give that very same faith in our Savior that the criminal had, He works that in us. No one who knew that criminal would have expected him to make this confession. And no one who truly understands just how sinful our hearts are would have expected such a confession out of us either. But God does miracles. By His grace, He takes sinners like us, and turns us from criminals against his law to his own dear children. Like that criminal on the cross, we can turn and look to Jesus on his cross and trust him now and always. He and he alone is the reason that we, yes, even we, will be with him in paradise. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entry of our church. Prayers of the congregation, prayers of thanksgiving are requested for Kirsten Gullerud and Carl Shireen. Kirsten is a former principal and teacher at our school, also is the daughter of Mark and Barb Gullerud and the sister of Dan. Kirsten and Carl were engaged yesterday, and we thank the Lord for that and pray for their upcoming wedding. So prayers of thanksgiving for them. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. O Jesus Christ, you loved your bride, the church, so much that you gave yourself into death for her and have said, so ought husbands to love their wives. We ask you, dear Savior, to sustain such a love in the hearts of Carl and Kirsten, who desire the prayers of this Christian congregation upon their marriage. Grant that they may live in close harmony and loving companionship, each giving as well as receiving, and each loving as well as being loved. Help them to bear each other's burdens and to strive in love to make the happiness and well-being of the other their mutual goal. Bless them not only as they begin to walk life's journey together, but bless them all of their days. Be the architect of their hopes, the master builder of their lives, the fulfiller of their dreams, and the fountain from which they can draw a never-ending supply of blessings. Keep them closely in touch with your word so that it always remains the source of their faith, the strength of their lives, and their compass to guide them. With their faith resting fully in you, may they be prepared for every challenge that awaits them in that blessed union where two become one. We ask this in the glory of your holy name, dear Jesus. Amen. O Son of God, living and true God and true man, your great love for us sinners soared to its loftiest heights when you so willingly bore the pain and shame of the cross to save us from everlasting death. Give steadfastness to our faith that we always treasure the love with which you loved us in making yourself an offering for our sins. Enable us through the Holy Spirit to follow the example of your true love and humility by always doing what pleases our Father in heaven. Teach us to be like you, to be loving and merciful, so that we gladly help those who are in need and show patience and forgiveness toward those who sin against us. Do not allow us to be discouraged from such crosses as you may call upon us to bear for your name's sake. Give us boldness and courage at all times to confess you as our Lord and Savior before an ungodly world. While we live here, cause all sorrow, distress, sickness, persecution, and every trial and temptation we are called on to endure to purify our faith, and use these things to draw us closer to you. Throughout our lives, you have been a continual source of earthly blessings, and you have always richly blessed us with the comfort of forgiveness and that wonderful hope of heaven. For these and all other blessings without number, we give you our heartfelt thanks and praise. O Holy Redeemer, forgive us all our sins. Forgive every instance of our failing to let your cross and the beauty of your love shine forth in our lives. Cause your saving name to be preached in all the world, and open hearts everywhere to receive you and believe in you and to worship you as their Lord and Savior. Teach sinners in every land to lay their burden of sin at the foot of your cross and to look only to you for forgiveness, for help, and for healing. Hear us for the glory of your name, and hear us now as we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue with our next hymn, Drawn to the Cross Which Thou Hast Blessed. Please rise. We continue on the top of page 11. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Lord God, all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to live by your word. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, we may live in peace and quietness. We pray this through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. You may be seated. We close with our final hymn, Chief of Sinners Though I Be. I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. I pray you've been blessed through the message that you've heard today. A few announcements for today and for the coming week. Following our worship service, we'll be having our choir practice. We'll practice our song for next Sunday, which is already Palm Sunday, and our Good Friday and Easter songs as well. So if you're able to join us for choir today, please do so after the service. I'll be heading up to East Bay in Hayward for our worship service at 1 p.m. We will not be having Bible class today there because I am heading out of town for my grandmother's funeral service in Wisconsin. It'll take place tomorrow in the Milwaukee area. I will be, Lord willing, returning then again on Tuesday night at approximately 8 p.m. So if pastoral assistance is needed during that time, just please call my cell phone and I will get back to you as soon as I am able. Confirmation class with Natalie on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. as usual. Friday, I have Bible instruction class with Gary at 11:30. It is a special class because it is our final Bible instruction class, but not the end of Gary's Bible learning and faith life, obviously. That means that next Sunday we'll be having his confirmation and reception into membership. So you're all welcome to join us for the service next Sunday on Palm Sunday. He'll be received into membership during the 10 a.m. worship service, and we'll have a reception and welcome for Gary in the fellowship hall following the service next Sunday at 11. A reminder, the Women's Auxiliary will meet after the refreshments next Sunday as well. There is a sign-up sheet for the Easter brunch. Believe it or not, we are 2 weeks away from Easter Sunday, so if you'd like to bring something to pass, there is a sign-up sheet in the entryway for that. And you see our Holy Week schedule. Palm Sunday, of course, next Sunday, usual time of 10 a.m. Good Friday service here will be at 7 p.m. with communion. We'll also be having a Good Friday service in Hayward at 1 p.m. on Good Friday. Easter Sunday, again, 10 a.m. here. Brunch at 11 with the children's Easter egg hunt following our service. There's a pretty detailed and very encouraging account of the tour choir from our high school and college in Wisconsin. They just are wrapping up their tour today, or most of their tour is finished up today. Please feel free to read that in the back pages of your bulletin and thank the Lord for the work that they were able to do in spreading the gospel in song, and pray for their safe travels home. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.